Thank you tonight, Jesus, for all that you have done. Amen. Amen. My, what a time that we had last night in the house of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, so real. Want to say my heart was just full watching all of you young people, so many of you, pressing in, persevering in the altars, watching and listening to these young ladies over here praying, seeking the Lord, praying with these young men. Oh, got to pray with some young men last night as they prayed on through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and seeing lives touched and changed. That's what Truth Camp's about, amen? It's what the presence of the Lord does. There's a difference that's made in the presence of the Lord. Me and Brother Darren Smith were talking last night as things were coming to a close, and he took the words out of my mouth. He said, more can be done in what seems like minutes or moments in God's presence than in lifetimes of preaching. Don't get me wrong, preaching's necessary. Amen. We need it. We've got to preach the gospel. Oh, but I'm thankful for the visitation. Amen, of the Holy Ghost. Just appreciate you young people. Want to say again, we're just so thankful and count it an honor to be with you this week. And I don't know really Monday night if I said so, but we just thank the camp board for allowing us to be a part of Truth Camp. Truth Camp's been a part of our lives since 2001. And we just are so thankful and just appreciate the privilege to be with you fine young people, pastors and youth pastors and youth workers and each and every one of you. We just thank God for you. Amen. Just appreciate you so much. And we just tonight want to get right into the word of the Lord. Since there was the Lord just moved and no preaching last night, Pastor Goodwin leaned over and said, you get 2 hours tonight. And no, not really. I don't want to start off telling a fib. He didn't tell me that. But we just want to let the Lord have his way. I believe that God has a word he wants to speak to some young people tonight. And I can honestly tell you that for the last few weeks, this thought has been stirring over. The Lord would not let me let go of it in my mind. And I am always amazed, as we see in these camp services, if you pay attention and hear what the Lord is saying, you watch as to how it seems that several messages start to interconnect together. As God is laying out a pattern and speaking a word and challenging our hearts. And so tonight I leaned over to Brother Tom and I said, there'll be a few things that I might reference of what you said today. But it's just the Lord bringing confirmation of what he wants to speak to us. Amen. If you have your Bibles, and can we stand together? The book of Deuteronomy chapter number 32. Deuteronomy chapter number 32. While you're turning there, we're going to be starting to read at verse number 9. We were blessed Tuesday morning. Brother Zach Manning preached a powerful message on a voice crying in the wilderness. Amen. Brother Tom today, the secrets of kingdom success, and talking about that secret place coming apart. My, what a challenging word from the Lord today. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and starting to read in verse number 9, and if you're there with me, won't you say amen? The Bible says, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Listen to this. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him, listen, he made him ride on high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. If we can direct our attention to verse number 11 as a launching point tonight for this message. The Word of God says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, and beareth them on her wings. Tonight, if we can, for a few moments of time, I believe the Lord would like to speak to us tonight, and I'd like to preach on this thought, and that is distress in the nest. Amen. There is distress in the nest. Look over to your neighbor and tell him, say, I feel a little distress brewing in the nest tonight. Amen. I feel a little bit of distress brewing in the nest tonight. Can we lift our hands to heaven one more time? Ask the Lord to anoint us, our hearts and ears. Come on, young people. Let's lift our voice right now. Father, we thank you once again for the privilege to be in this youth camp. Thank you, Lord, for these days you've given us of heaven on earth. Lord, I pray tonight the precious anointing of the Holy Ghost would rest upon our ears and our hearts. Let your word come alive. Speak to us, Lord. I pray, God, you'd speak in a powerful way. Let your anointing rest, Lord, that anointing that breaks the yokes, that anointing that chases demons through doors, that anointing that defeats the devil. Lord, I pray that your word will accomplish what it is sent to do. Lord, help us to leave this place differently than the way we came tonight, and we'll give you praise and glory. And we ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and the church said amen. One more time, give him one more hand clap of praise as you're seated here tonight. Amen. Distress in the nest. Brother Tom, this morning as he was preaching, went to the chapter and the verses to talk about how God will cover us with his feathers and hiding us in that place. And as the Lord was reminding me and challenging me in the context of this message, and again, I believe confirming what he wants to speak to us tonight, I began to pray over these thoughts that God had begun to put upon my heart, and begin to do a little bit of research in regards, amen, to the habits and the patterns of the eagle and her nest. Now, there may be some things tonight that you're aware of. Maybe you've learned them in school. Maybe you've heard your pastor preach along the same lines, or your youth pastor, whatever the case might be. But tonight, as we look at this, the Word of God here begins to expound upon the way that God had revealed himself to his people. He reminds us in the opening of this, he says that the Lord's portion is his people, and Jacob the lot of his inheritance. When we take a look at the Word of God, we must understand as to where we are reminded time and time again of the fact that God is absolutely, if I can just summarize it with this thought, he is absolutely crazy over you and over me. Amen. He loves us so much. Amen. We can all quote the verse as to where it said that he loved the world so much that he gave. Amen. There's a powerful statement there, and gave his only begotten son. Amen. The Word of God reminds us that we are the apple of his eye. The Word of God reminds us as to where Jesus speaking to the people of the fact that he knows the very hairs upon our heads. One pastor said one time, he said, he is aware of your address. He knows exactly where you're at and where you're living and exactly what is going on in your life. One of the things that I believe is such a powerful tactic of the enemy is he wants to begin to make us feel as if God, through our living and our life, that he is unfair, that he is unconcerned, that he is disconnected from who we are. I have spoken with people and young people who have made statements to say, well, I just believe that if there is a God, it seems that he's sitting somewhere fire in the heavens, and he is disassociated with the sufferings of this life. He doesn't care. He isn't concerned. And can I just remind you tonight, I know I'm just an old country preacher. I don't have a lot of degrees after my name, no degrees after my name, as a matter of fact, just real simple. But can I just set the record straight tonight? Can I remind you tonight, is what you were even singing about, of the fact is that you are no mistake. Amen. We are no mistake. There is purpose and there is a plan. Amen. I believe, as we have been listening in the last couple of days in these services, that God is calling young people. I believe is challenging us, amen, to a higher place, to a deeper walk, amen, to a higher level of consecration. As Brother Dustin sang tonight in that chorus, said, there is an army that is rising up. Oh, can I tell you, when he began to sing that, I kind of felt like David. I thought, Lord, help me, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall, because I looked and these young people, your hands were raised to heaven. I want to let you know, God is calling you out. God is challenging our hearts. We are that generation, amen, that has a work, that has a purpose, that has a call upon our lives that must be executed. One of the things that we have to remember as God, and if it's okay with you, I made up my mind, said I'm just going to pace myself tonight. There's a lot I believe God wants to say, and I don't want to get in a hurry. Amen. So you just bear with me as we work our way through this. One of the things that I believe that we get ahead of oftentimes is the process that God wants to work in our lives. We are oftentimes intoxicated and excited over the promise that God has spoken to us. And I'm sure tonight if I were to open this floor and people begin to testify, there would be many of you say, yes, I'm holding to some promises that God has given to me. There are some things that God has spoken directly. I've had some young men who have met me in the vestibule after the service and said, God, I believe is calling me to preach. Others that said, Brother Jacob, would you help me pray? Because there's some things God's speaking to my life. Young ladies and young men, I want to challenge you right now. There is nothing, we said this Monday night, there's nothing more precious than the promises of God. There's nothing more precious, amen, than the kingdom of God and His will. I'm glad that when we don't have anything left, it seems to hold on to, I'm glad His promises always remain faithful. I'm glad His word can always, always be trusted. But if we're not careful, as we're excited over the promise, as we're excited about the plan and the purpose that God has, we will miss something that's very important, and that is the process. Amen. The Word of God actually in just a couple of different places uses the phrase, in the process of time. Now, I don't know about you, but there are things that I have wanted God to do yesterday. There are things that there were prayers I prayed and people I've prayed for and specific needs in my life as to where I've said, Lord, it sure would have been nice if this would have been done about 6 months ago. Somebody once said, if you ever want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans. Amen. Tell Him what you have to think about it. And there are times, Brother Tom, when I'm in that prayer closet, I think I've got it all figured out. I say, Lord, if you can do it like this and you'd bring this person along, you do this thing, it'll all work together. I know I'm not the only ones ever prayed that way or thought that way. And then, Brother Dustin, there's times as to where a lot of time where I thought I had the best laid plans and I was trying to get ahead of the process, and God would put the brakes on everything and say, no, you can't step into that place just yet, because there is a process, there is a refining, there is a work, a deep work that God is wanting to do in your life. The Word of God reminds us, David said, daily He loadeth me with his benefits. And tonight we must understand, as we have to propose the question to say, can you carry that load? The things, the promises, the blessing, the path, the purpose that God is ordaining and directing in your life, we have to understand as to where God says, I've got to stabilize you. I've got to get you ready. I've got to get you right, amen, so that you might be able to carry the load and contain the responsibility as to what God is wanting to accomplish in your heart. Come on here. Bear with Brother Jacob. We're going somewhere with this. Oh, the process is sometimes the most painful thing. When we talk about God having a purpose, when we talk about the word of the Lord says that we are his portion, we are his inheritance, he is looking and watching. When we talk about love, one of the purest definitions of love is the fact that when you have care and concern to the highest good of someone else, of their benefit, of what is best for them, we have convoluted the idea of love as to think that it means that God's going to give me everything that I want. I will tell you, young people, everything that you want and everything that I want is not always healthy in our walk with God. It's not always right. We are not in a place as to where we are limited in what we can see. And we have to trust the fact that God is light years ahead of where we are. I grew up hearing Pastor Goodwin say, God has been where you've been, and he is already at where you're headed. Can I tell some young people here tonight is that God has been where you've been before the sun comes up tomorrow. I can promise you he's already ahead in eons of time, and he sees and he knows, and he says, if you will trust the process, I have a plan. But what you always want is not right. What you always want is not what you should always get. And when we look at this, it doesn't mean in the fact because everything that you wanted and it seems that God's not giving it doesn't mean that he isn't concerned or that he doesn't care. Because we are his portion, because we are his inheritance, we must understand that God goes to great lengths in order to nurture us and to grow us in the process. Therefore, as a result of that, spiritually, physically, emotionally, whether you are aware of it or not, God has, through the period of your life, he has been constructing and building a nest. And a nest is necessary. We understand that in doing a little bit of research that when you look at the eagle, and I reference the eagle because as the scripture makes reference, understand that there are some things that differentiate the eagle from any other bird. Number one, when they build their nest, again, remember the nest is necessary. It is created with the sole purpose to nurture the young. It is created to raise them up, to learn the ways of the eagle. It is built and constructed that they might go through the process of maturity to be able to be all that that eagle can be. What you must understand, some interesting facts, is that eagles will build their nest anywhere from 4 to 5 feet in diameter. It will be up from 2 to 4 feet deep. The largest nest on record for the bald eagle was in St. Petersburg, Florida. This nest was 9.5 feet in diameter and 20 feet deep, and it weighed almost 3 tons. Come on here. Significant. Male and female eagle, as a part of the courtship process, they began to build that nest together. Now, when they build that nest, there are some things, significant things that happen. Number one, Brother Tom, they go in their area, in their surrounding, and they get sticks and they get pieces of wood, various things from that surrounding, and they begin to build that nest. Brother Dustin, if you would, come and help me. And Brother Stephen, if you would, won't you come and help me tonight? I'm not going to, I thought about getting one of you girls, but I'm going to keep the tree dust and bark off of your pretty clothes tonight, and when you wouldn't have to climb these steps in your heels. But what happens is these eagles, they will go and they will hand pick those branches, and they will get them and construct them. Fellas, won't you pick up a couple branches and come on up here to the top? You just hang on with Brother Jacob tonight. Amen. They'll bring those branches, and it's from the surrounding areas. And you guys can move that pile close. And as they're there, hey man, just start putting those there and kind of stack them together, and we'll make a best makeshift nest that we can. All right. We're testing their construction skills. I'll tell you right now, I'm glad they're not eagles. It looks like they're trying to make a campfire. Amen. But listen, here's what's happening. They get this nest built up, those eagles, they will get those pieces of limbs and pieces of trees. And what the eagles do, they just don't throw them down in there. What the learning has provided to us, the study of eagles, is they actually interlay these branches together. Now, you guys don't have to get all that intricate, but already they started to crisscross them and lay them together, and they form a pattern. You see, because in that nest is going to provide strength, amen, for that nurturing process. That nest is going to provide a safe haven, amen, for the nurturing process. And what I want you to understand is that when I talk about the fact that God has been constructing a nest in your life, it's because everything that God does is meticulous. Everything that God does is purposeful. And I can assure you tonight that where you have come from, and which home you've been born in, and who your mom and daddy is. Brother Dustin, what's your daddy's name?
Chris Brown.
Chris Brown. Brother Taylor, what's your mama's name?
Cindy Taylor.
Cindy Taylor. Dustin, what school did you graduate from? Did you graduate?
Livingston High School.
Livingston High School. Brother Taylor, what's your birthday?
March 9th, 1997.
March 9th, 1997. Listen, come down here with me, guys, for a second. These eagles, you see, as this nest has been built, I'm asking them specific questions, because I will tell you, whether it's March 9th, 1997, whether your daddy is Chris Brown, or your papa is N.J. Pickle Love, amen, whoever it is, whether your mama, whoever your siblings are, whether you grew up in Texas, whether you came out of the sticks of Arkansas, you came from the swamps of Louisiana, you came from the Red River of Oklahoma, Brother Tom, wherever it is you came out of, the day that you opened your lungs and cried your first breath, God began to say, I'm starting to build the nest. I'm putting it all together. I'm interlacing it. I've got a reason and a purpose. I will tell you tonight, young person, I will reiterate it again. You are not an accident. It may not be everything you've always dreamed of, but God is building a nest. He's preparing a place for the process of your life. Everything up to this point, Brother Dustin, who was your youth pastor, one of your youth pastors?
Jacob Smith.
Jacob Smith. I'll tell you something. Old Dustin caused some distress in my nest when I was youth pastor. If you want to hear the dirt on him, just come talk to me after. But I'll tell you this. I look at this young man and I look at several of you, but the other night I was watching Dustin up there singing, worshiping the Lord, leading us in worship, and I said, oh Lord, we didn't all realize it at the time. There was times I'd go and pray and say, God, I'd like to wring that boy's neck. I'd like to kick him. Come on here. I'd like to whip him real good, right, Brother Hollis? There were times we just wanted to get him. And oh, he taught me. He taught me how to pray. He taught me how to seek the Lord. But what was happening is even through all of his ornery years, all the times that he'd buck up and get a little bit feisty, there was times that we was praying. We cried a lot together. We prayed a lot together. You've been through some valleys and some situations. And I'll tell you why. You've been through some of these places is because God has prepared a nest specifically for you that only you can develop in, that only you can come out of to give God glory and power in this life. That nest gets all put together. Gentlemen, if you will, I got that big, soft, comfy blanket there. What that mama eagle does, they get those branches from all their environment. It testifies of who they are. Listen to me. Everything in your nest right now is a story. It is a testimony of what God has done and what He has been doing and what He will do. Come on here. Begins to interlace all these things together. And then after they get all the sticks, the study says that they will get corn stalks, and they will get moss, and they'll get grass, and they'll lay it on all those sharp, pointy sticks. And what they'll do is that mama, let's pretend this is grass, and this is the moss, and this is all the soft stuff, the down that comes off the feathers of those, that mama and daddy eagle, it's all there. And oh man, those baby eaglets, they sit in there. And I mean, they are comfy. They are cozy. Come on, you little eaglets. No. Come over here. Just get on your knees right here by each other. They thought, oh Lord, we're going to have to sit on those limbs. Amen. Listen, that mom and daddy, they get everything just right. Listen, they get some things. Yeah, they get some things that are real soft, real easy. Come on here, and they're in there, and I mean, those boys, go ahead and open your mouths, fellas. Yeah, that mama bird flies in, and those baby boys are saying, mama, we're hungry. Daddy, we're hungry. She comes, and she gives them food. They eat. They fill their bellies, and oh, man, everything in the world is right. I mean, they're comfortable. The nest is necessary. The nest is comfortable, and it is cozy. They're all snuggled up 2 to 4 foot deep. The world record 20 foot deep. Buddy, I mean, they hunker down in there. It's kind of like on a winter morning when it's nice and cold. You're all wrapped up in your blankie and pillow. Just your nose sticking out. You say, I don't want to face the world. I just want to stay wrapped up. Come on here. All cozy. Listen. All cozy, and for a little while, life is cozy. For a little while, everything's just right. Yeah, they're settled down. When they're hungry, they're fed. When they need protection, mom and daddy come, and Brother Tom puts those feathers over those babies. They'll protect them from any other birds of prey that would try to come. Oh, they'll be there, but there they are. It's all nice and cozy. Everything's just right. Listen, and that is needful and necessary for a point in time. There are some of you that are here tonight, and you'd say, Brother Jake, if I'm honest, I've been blessed because my nest has been nice and cozy. Maybe you've been blessed with the fact that you've grown up in a good, solid Christian home. Maybe you haven't had to worry about some of the influences of this world, at least inside of your house. All you've ever known is being in God's house. Some of you, all you've ever known is getting to be a part of things like this. But then there are some that are here that you're listening to me, and not everything in your life has been cozy and comfortable. Not everything, you'd say, Brother Jacob, for a while everything in the world was right. For a while everything made sense. Oh, but it seems like there's some things that are changing. And what changes is there comes a point where the mama, the Bible says, as the eagle disturbs the nest. And what she does is there's the eaglets. They've been living high on life. Their bellies are full. They've been sitting there on their folded wings. They're in the moss and the grass. But one day, mama shows up and she's got a wild look in her eye. Some of you young people, you know the look when mama has had enough. Come on here. You know the look when daddy wants you to straighten up, you know it. I've got a six-year-old girl. I've perfected that. There's times in the pulpit, Brother Tom, I can't holler at her. But we make eye contact. No. The eye, the look, the crazed look. Like I'm getting ready to disrupt your fun time. Come on here. Listen. They was there all comfortable, and mama shows up, and mama's looking crazy. They got their mouths open. Boy, they're thinking mama's done brought us some food. They're all happy. They're all laughing, and mama don't give them any food, but mama starts to say, oh, no, boys, you're getting a little bit too big for this nest. And the Bible here says, and science tells us, that she begins to disrupt the nest. Notice I said disrupt. I did not say dismantle. Come on here. She begins to disrupt, and she gets all the soft stuff out of there, and she begins to move some things around so that they began to feel the uncomfortable feeling of that nest. Because when she built the nest, when the daddy built the nest, they brought the specific things to put that nest together. But it's been documented that some eagles will even grab pieces of man-made wire that they find on the roads. Come on. And they'll tuck it in those branches. And when mama comes in to disrupt, and she's got a wild eye, and she's looking, those eagles are looking around, looking at one another, saying, what in the world's going on? They're looking at daddy saying, daddy, what's mama up to? I don't understand what's happening. Can I say tonight is that there may be some of you right now where in your life there are some things that God is disrupting in your nest. There are some things that he is pulling out, and you might feel like he's being unfair. You might feel like he's picking on you, but can I tell you, he is still working for your good. He has a greater purpose. Give somebody a high five and tell them it's part of the process. Part of the process. Those boys, those eaglets, mama's done removed all that stuff because those eagles understand that there was a time that the nest was necessary for them to be nurtured, for them to grow. There comes a point, Brother Tom, when they've got to get out of that nest. There comes a point in time when mama starts preparing them to get out of that nest. The Bible here says in Job chapter 29, Job was speaking and giving a parable about his suffering. Verse 18 says, then I said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Come on here. We can begin to think everything's good and wonderful, and I don't want to leave the nest. Job said, when everything was great, when my children were alive, when my cattle were grazing, when the bank account was full, when everything was going my way, he said, I decided in my mind, I like this nest. I'll just stay right here. I'll just camp out here. Oh, but you see, in God's divine plan, when God told Satan, have you considered my servant Job? It was God saying, I'm getting ready to disrupt his nest, because God knows we can never fulfill our purpose while we're living in the nest. We can never be what he wants us to be until we move out and get a hold of all that he has destined. God will disrupt some things in your life to get you to your destiny. Hear me. You're not shouting right now, but I'm preaching right. What happens is, those sticks and those wires, those eagles, they lay there as long as they can, Dustin. Those eaglets, they ain't even flew yet. And they try. They try to rustle around in those branches. But when they just, it starts to poke them. It starts to hurt them. Listen, I done told you God ordained your families. He ordained your places. He's ordained the people in your life. Isn't it something that sometimes the places, the people, the pastors, the positions, the things that are in us in our lives, sometimes they get to poking at us. Sometimes the things that we love and trust, it gets to hurting us a little bit. We're saying, man, I don't like that. How come that's happening in my life? There might be some of you young people here tonight. Your feelings have been hurt. Oh, maybe your heart's been broken. Maybe somebody has said some things against you. Maybe there's been some disappointments. But I can tell you, do not let those things define who you are. Oh, but God is getting you in the process. He's working the process. The reason why is because this nest gets so uncomfortable. The mama does this for two reasons. Number one reason, first reason, so that they learn how to use their talons. Come on here. She says, in essence, when she moves all that, she says, you can't lay there no more, boys. You're going to get uncomfortable enough to where you quit laying and you start standing. So they wobble themselves up, kind of stretch those legs out, fellas. Oh, I mean, listen. Yeah, they look awkward. They look goofy. I remember I hit about 13, 14, I hit my growing spurt. At that time, I was probably about 80 pounds lighter. I was all arms and legs everywhere. I wasn't all that coordinated, but I was growing. And those eaglets, they're there. And I mean, they're trying to learn to get their footing. But what happens, Brother Tom, is what was uncomfortable to lay on. Now what happens when they learn to stand on it? Everything begins to change. I want you to hear me tonight, young person, that God is disrupting and distressing your nest because he wants you to understand you cannot lay there any longer, but he is wanting to teach you what it is to get yourself in position and to learn how to stand. The Apostle Paul said in that evil day to stand, having done all to stand. stand. We got enough young people. We've got a younger generation that has ran for the hills. They have compromised their lives. They have turned their backs on God. But I pray tonight there'd be some young people in Truth Camp 2016 that'll say, God, get me uncomfortable so that I can stand. A little bit awkward. Don't feel real good, Sister Abby. Been hurting, been heartbroken. She testified the other night. Bless her heart. Her and her sis been going through some things. She was realizing, can't lay down in that nest no more. God said, we say, but God, it hurts. Have you cried some tears? Has your heart been broken? Have you had some questions? Do you have all the answers yet? And to some degree, probably never will. Come on here. But you know what God's doing? Gotta stand, Abby. Gotta stand. There's a world coming against you. There's demonic forces coming against you. The devil's going to send all his arsenal at you. You ain't going to be in the bubble of youth camp all your life. You're going to be in some churches. You're going to be in some places. Some of you are going to be on some mission fields. Some of you are going to be in the workplace. And all of hell is going to want to sell you. But may God give us some eaglets that have learned how to stand. You may feel weak. You may feel like I'm defeated. But spiritually, God has allowed your nest to be disrupted because he's wanting you to stand. Come on down here, Dustin. Come on down here, Brother Taylor. Look here, young people. Brother Lucas, Sister Amy's back here. There's different ones I can point to tonight. And in the last weeks, the last months, Brother Dustin testified. Brother Stephen testified. Look here. I can testify as a young person. I remember what it was to go into the house and smell the drugs that had just been smoked. I remember what it was as a young man when the family would get together and they were lost, sitting around bonfires, drinking their booze and acting foolish, using language that only sailors would use. I remember standing there and seeing that. I remember going to youth camps, Brother Keith. I remember those places. And I'd pray and cry, say, God, would you do a work in my family? Brother Wilson, I didn't always understand. Oh, I'd go come back from youth camp. I'd be fired up, full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, but yet, Brother Dustin, I was like that eaglet. Things at home were uncomfortable. Things at home didn't make sense. But around 12, 13 years old, I began to realize God was working a process in me. He was saying, it's time to stand. It's time to stand your ground. Young person, your pastor can't do it for you. Your mama can't do it for you. Your daddy can't do it for you. Your youth pastor can't do it for you. You're going to have to learn how to stand on God's word. You're going to have to learn how to stand and fight the devil. Going to have to do it. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, say, it's going to get uncomfortable. Tell him, say, get ready. It's going to get uncomfortable. Thank you, Abby. You can be seated. Come on back up here, Eagles. We ain't done yet. Process ain't over yet. They're up there, and they've learned how to stand. The Word of God says, she stirreth her nest. And then the Bible says that she fluttereth her wings. Now listen, it's not a flap. You got to hold on to that tonight. Hold on to that little fact right there. She don't flap her wings. But she fluttereth. And those eagles looking at her said, well, all right, Mama, we've been standing. Well, you done messed up all of our nests. What are you doing now? They thought she looked crazy the first time. Oh, Brother Tom, come help me, Brother Tom. Ain't nobody impersonated a chicken like I saw him impersonate one today. If he can impersonate a chicken, I know he can impersonate an eagle. Come on here. Just stand in front of him, Brother Tom. Look here. Those wings will flutter. Yeah. And those babies are watching. They're saying, what in the world's mama doing? What in the world's going on? Listen, up to this point, those wings have been folded in. Those wings have been tight. And so they start to kind of unfold them a little bit. And they say, what's mama doing? And they begin to kind of flap those wings a little bit. And listen, here's what happens. Here's what happens. They flap those wings. Now hold on a second, mama. Mama Eagle. What happens is, she, as she flutters their wings and is teaching them, said, this is what you're getting ready to do. She will get around behind them. And she'll flutter those wings. You know what she does? She comes around and she starts nudging those eaglets closer to the edge. Come on here. Closer to the edge. And she keeps them there. You can just stay there for a second. And she keeps them there. Listen. And they're standing on that edge. And they will have their nest hundreds of foot up in the air. Those eagles have never flown before. And they're looking around over that edge and they're scared. They're saying, boy, I've learned how to stand, but I've never learned how to use these things before. Listen to me. Again, God doesn't want you dying in your nest. He doesn't want you staying there. And you might say, Brother Jake, there's some things been pushing me to the edge. Maybe you've been trying to fight it. Maybe you haven't understood it. But God's getting you to the edge and He's beginning to show you, I'm getting ready where you can take flight. I'm getting ready. You're getting ready to soar. You're getting ready to make a difference. You're getting ready to impact the kingdom of God. You know what the interesting thing is? While those eaglets are on the edge, and while that mama's forced them to that edge, during an eagle's courtship, it's an interesting fact of how the female will select her husband. You may already know this, but that female, she will pick up a stick or she will pick up a rock. And she will soar up into the air as high as 5,000 feet. And that male eagle, he will soar up after. And just at a moment's notice, no warning, she will drop that rock or she will drop that stick. And down goes Flash. That male eagle, scientists have recorded where those male eagles will fall as fast as 200 miles an hour. And they will go down and they will snatch that rock or they will snatch that stick before it hits the ground. And they will lay it down at that female's feet. Can I just give you ladies a side note? Don't you settle for any chicken or vulture that comes around. My father-in-law sitting in this house. I was a skinny old, barely 15-year-old boy. I had a crush on his daughter. I knew Brother Collins, she was the one I was going to marry. I'd go in his office, my knees are knocking. I was like old Belshazzar. My knees are knocking. Can I, you know, maybe go out with Carolyn? If you ever heard my father-in-law talk, he's got a built-in microphone. He said, where are you going to go with her? What you going to do? Oh, man. You know why, Brother Tom? He didn't want some chicken or vulture flopping around. Come on, ladies. That female eagle, she says, if we're going to be together, she says, I got to know you know how to take care of business. I got to know you can provide for this family. What she does is the second time she will pick up a heavier stick or she will pick up a heavier rock. And up she goes, up into the air. And there goes that male eagle. He'll fly up after her. And there she goes. She's also been known to pick up something that is equal to her own body weight. Take up into the air. And then she lets her go. Down it goes. And before it hits the ground, he'll snatch it up. He'll come down and he'll lay it at her feet. And I mean, he struts his stuff. Come on here. Struts his stuff. He lets her know, you ain't just got any old bird on the block. Come on here. I'm an eagle. I'm an eagle. I'm an eagle. It might sound funny, but there's some of you young people that devil's told you you're a loser. You ain't never going to be anybody. You're going to be a failure like your mama. You're going to be a drug addict like your daddy. You're going to be in prison like your uncle. Oh, Brother Jake, I come from the wrong side of town. I ain't been saved very long. It don't matter when the blood of Jesus has washed over your heart and your life. You are a child of the King. You ain't no ordinary person. You are washed in royal blood. Why do you think he fights you so hard to discredit what God's done in your life? You know why they go through all that? Not just to impress her, but like I said, she wants to know. Because here's what happens. While that mama gets those eaglets on the edge of the nest, and she's pushing them, and they're there on the edge, and they're thinking, oh man, what's going to happen? We're going to fall. You know what that daddy's doing? He's up above in the sky. Some of you getting it? Above the nest. He's up above the nest. And Brother Kyron, the reason why she's got confidence to push them out of the nest is because the Father's already proven that if they're fallen and they're in trouble, there's a Father who's able to swoop down and get them before they fall. I want to let you know tonight, he ain't going to let you fall. We got a Heavenly Father who's there up above, who will get a hold of you. Don't be afraid to fall. He will catch you before you die, before you land. He's overlooking you. Whoa! He's watching. I've been reminded, there's nothing that escapes the eye of our Father. She gets him on the edge. She says, oh, I don't know. And then they look up. Look up, eagles. They look up. There's Daddy. There's the Father. Can I tell you, some of you on the edge are at a place in your life right now. You're at a place, you're standing on the edge. You're saying, but Brother Jacob, listen. Those eagles, they're uncoordinated. They don't know what to do. They can't make sense of it all. What do I do? What if I fall over this thing? I will tell you tonight, young person, don't you worry about the enemy will convince you of failures and falling before it ever happens. I will tell you tonight that it's time for you to get out of that nest because you weren't called to live there. You weren't called to die there, but you were called to soar. You were called to fly. You were called to be more. You are called to do something in the kingdom of God. Sit down for a second. Just for a second. I've got to get to this. I told you, she flutters her wings. She doesn't flap. I told you she's distinctive. That male eagle's distinctive. Because they do not flap their wings. I already mentioned the chicken, the vulture, other birds, they flap. And when they flap, Brother De Leon, they are trying to get somewhere by their own resource, by their own doing, by their own ability. What separates the eagle with that wingspan of 6 to 8 foot? Those wings, the scientists say that pound for pound, they're stronger than the wing of an airplane. And what begins to happen, that mama doesn't say, remember I taught you how to flap, uh-uh. She said, I taught you how to get those wings. And know what they do? They get those wings out. Get those wings out. And what happens, Brother Dustin, is they begin to feel Those feathers, they begin to flap a little bit. I said the feathers flap. They begin to move, not those wings. Those feathers. Listen here. What that eagle does, it does not expend its own resource, but it soars and it uses the strength of the wind. Come on here. It uses the strength of the wind. I want to let somebody know. The Word of God, if you will allow me to say so, tells us of an early church. There was 120 who were gathered. And Brother Wilson, the Word of God says that they, Jesus told them, I want you to go and tarry in that upper room. Tarry up there in that upper room in Jerusalem until you be endued with power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says those 120 were up there 1 day, 2 days, 6 days, 8 days went by. Oh, but Brother DeLeon, on the 10th day, there was a... Oh, can I tell you, that early church said, we ain't been on this thing on our own. We've always had the Lord with us. What are we going to do? I can imagine the Lord was reminding them, unfold those wings. The wind is getting ready to blow. You're getting ready to soar. You're getting ready to turn this world upside down. I wish there was a few eagles in this house tonight that would unfold their wings and ride on the wind of the Holy Ghost. Come on here. The Word of God says, Brother Tom, there came a sound from heaven. It's a sound of a rushing and a mighty wind. Oh, yes. You know what happened? Jesus had been telling them, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be lied on. You're going to stand in the courts. Know what he was doing? He's getting them uncomfortable, disrupting the nest, getting them ready. But Lord, how are we going to fly? We ain't never done this before. Listen, old Peter, he'd been cussing around the campfire, cutting off soldiers' ears. He'd been carrying on, denying Jesus. And Jesus looked at him, had reminded him of what was going on. He said, don't you worry, Peter. He said, Satan wants to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. That was just to remind him, I'm a heavenly Father who's circling above. I'm going to praise, and I prayed that your faith would fail not. Get those wings out. The Word of God says the Holy Ghost moved into that room and they began to speak with other tongues as cloven tongues of fire rested upon their head. Come on here. And the Bible says that later that afternoon, old Peter, he said, I feel the wind and I feel like I'm ready to soar. I don't got all the answers, but I'm going to do something for the kingdom of God. The Bible says he came out of that upper room and it says he stood there. That day, that one who denied Christ, that one cussing around campfires, cutting off ears, that day he preached Christ and him crucified and risen again. And 3,000 souls were added to the church because one man, he said, I can't do it myself, but I'll ride the wind of the Holy Ghost. I don't have all the answers, but I'll ride the wind of the Holy Ghost. I don't know what to do, but I know that my Father said I can soar. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Music, if you'll come. All over this house, I want you to stand with me. Oh, thank you, brother. Come on. Right now, I want you to raise those hands to heaven. Come on. I want you to begin to give him praise right now. In this house, Lord, I thank you. Here's what I want you to thank him for. Thank you for disrupting my nest. Thank you for distressing my nest. Thank you, Lord, I come to camp. My heart was heavy. I thought I was defeated. I thought I wasn't going to make it. But Lord, you've been doing all this because you are disrupting and distressing my nest. Oh, but I believe out of Truth Camp 2016, there's some eagles that are going to take off soaring. There's some of you, you're learning how to stand. You're learning how to navigate. And God's saying, I'm ready for you to soar. I'm ready for you to take off. I'm ready for you to do something in the kingdom of God. But you don't have to do it alone. We've got the wind. We've got the wind to rest in our resource. Maybe you're here tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, Brother Jacob, if I'm real honest, there's been some distress going on in my life. There's been some situations that I honestly thought were going to break me. Oh, Ramasitiya, no, Messiah. I've heard some of your testimonies. I've seen it on some of your faces. I can see some of you as where you say, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm real honest, Brother Jacob. I don't know if I can stand it. But the Lord is pushing you closer and closer and closer to the edge. That's it right now. The Holy Ghost is moving. He's moving through this congregation. Oh, Ramasita Hamasa. But tonight, I want to remind you, you are empowered by the Holy Ghost. You are a child of the King. There is a Heavenly Father who right now tonight, he's been overseeing every situation of your life. You'd say, Brother Jacob, I felt like I've been falling. I felt like I was going to die. Maybe some of you, you'd say, I've been just living comfortable, cozy. But tonight, Brother Jacob, I realize God is making some things uncomfortable in my life so that I'll get out of the nest. He isn't doing it to destroy you. He isn't doing it to hurt you, to wound you. But he's doing it so that you can go through the process and become everything he wants you to be. Now tonight, when I make this altar call, what I want you to do is step out from where you are. And when you come down into this altar, lift those hands to heaven and say, Lord, here I am. I'm ready to soar. I'm ready to be what you'd have me to be. There are some of you, maybe you've been sitting on a call of God. Maybe you've been sitting on a mandate from heaven. Maybe tonight you'd say, God, would you help me as I realize you're disrupting my life. You're disrupting my situation. But I realize, Lord, you want me to soar. That's it. Come on, young people. Why don't we come? Lift those hands to heaven. Find your place in these altars. Oh, it's time to let the wind of the Holy Ghost blow through this place tonight. I believe there's some going to be called. We accept the call to the ministry tonight. Some of you feel with the Holy Ghost. Some of you rededicating a call. You've been burnt out. You felt defeated. Oh, my God, here I am. You that's it. Stretch those hands to heaven. Lord, here I am. I'm ready to soar. You're my Heavenly Father. Looking after me. There's no other name. The devil is a liar. I am saved. Oh Lord, we take you at your word. You can't. Thank you, Lord, you've been pushing me. Thank you, Lord, you've been making me uncomfortable. I need you, Lord, I'm ready. Come on, young men. Come on, young ladies. Who of you are ready? Who of you are ready to soar? If you're ready, say it's time to fly. It's time to get out of that nest. It's time for me to get out of my comfortable living. It's time for me to move. It's time for me to trust. Come on, ladies. Come on, young men. Lord, do a deep work tonight. Holy Ghost, let the process be in work tonight. Come on, young men. Dig deep. Come on.
I can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will take hold of you. 'Cause I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Oh, where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Oh, you captured me with grace, and I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Oh, where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Lord, you captured me with grace. I will follow you. My heart is yours for life. I need your hand in mine. No one else will do. I put my trust in you. 'Cause I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Oh, where else can I go? There's no other name by which I'm saved. Lord, you captured me with grace, and I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved.
Come on, church. Come on,
Lord, you captured me with grace, and I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue.
You've been bought with a price.
Oh, Lord, where else
can
I go?
Not a silver and gold.
Go. There's no other name by which I am saved. Oh, you captured me with grace. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me.